It's good to see everyone out this morning. We have a decent number. We do have several of our normal folks that are out, those that are members here, those that are traveling. Tis the season for traveling. We have a lot that are traveling. We have those that are sick as well that we need to remember. But we also see several of their places filled by visitors, and we are encouraged by your presence this morning, by you coming out to be with us. I want you to know that you're a welcome guest. If we haven't met you yet, we'd ask if you could stick around after services. We'll get a chance to meet you and talk to you for just a second. And if you're traveling back, I know I talked to some that are traveling back today and those that will be traveling back to where they're from. And I want you to know that we appreciate you being here and wish you safe travels as you go back to your homes. As you may be aware, I am not Brother Gale. We've mentioned this morning, if you weren't here with our Bible class or couldn't hear or didn't hear earlier, Brother Randy mentioned in the announcements that Brother Gale is at home this morning. They are with us on the Zoom service and thankful that they can be here. And our other folks that are on Zoom, appreciate you being with us. But both Gale and Debbie are home. They were away at preacher training class and course that he did this past week. They traveled back on Friday and they began feeling sick yesterday. And then got word yesterday evening that one of the folks that was there with them had tested positive for the coronavirus, and so they are being cautious and safe and staying home, and want them to feel better, one, and also appreciate them being cautious and erring on the side of caution. So I got the call from Gale in the middle of yesterday evening, last night, asking to see if we could do the service and if I would preach for him this morning, and always appreciate the opportunity. Appreciated him asking me and looking forward to imparting some words. I always say that what I'm going to do when I preach and I get the opportunity, that it's nothing profound, and I assure you it's nothing profound again this morning. It's nothing that is new. There's a lot of things that I'll mention to us this morning that you've probably heard before or a few times, and that's okay. And that's something that we're going to do and search the scriptures together, and specifically getting something together in an evening. A lot of this stuff is rather familiar. But my goal is always to do one thing, and that is to search the scriptures. I guess I should say two things. Search the scriptures and make sure that what I'm doing is speaking from this and nothing else. And then also saying some things that would apply to my life and then hopefully will apply to yours. Because ultimately, I need to look here first and then to my wife and my kids and my family and then to all of you. And hopefully we can do that together this morning, to search the scriptures and then search ourselves and make sure that we're doing what we need to be doing as Christians. And if you've not yet become a Christian, what we need to do to remedy that and to obey the gospel. So if you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Appreciate Zach reading the scriptures that he did. I dare say that they were probably decently familiar. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and then also Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8. And of course, if you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and all the verses that I'm reading this morning will come from the ESV, is the version I'm reading from. And I guess the last thing that I would preface, I've probably done every time I've ever preached, is that I don't do PowerPoint slides. I haven't before. I'm not for this lesson. And I definitely go heavy on the scriptures. So what I would encourage you to do is, if you have a Bible, see a lot of folks with the Bibles, or as I usually say, your technological devices. If you have your cell phones, your pads, whatever you're using, I would invite you to turn with me. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures, or at least several. I shouldn't say a lot, or you might get too scared. Several scriptures this morning, and so please turn with me. Do that. I find that helps me pay attention when I'm in the audience, and hopefully that will be the case with you as well. So we're going to be turning to several scriptures this morning. And the first of those is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That is something that we have read, I'm sure, several times. And this morning I'd like to talk about seeking. And oftentimes when I've looked at this verse, I've always done it in tandem with verse 34, talking about do not be anxious about tomorrow. We're not going to go there this morning. We're going to try to focus solely on what we can do to be seekers, and as seekers, how we are to be seeking the Lord and his word and to seek after righteousness. And what got my mind thinking about this is two different things that were mentioned, I believe, in Bible classes, probably in the last 3 or 4 months. I think Carl might have mentioned one or maybe both of them. But at the time, just made a note in my phone. Like I said, it's been probably several months ago. And I'll mention that I'm burying the lead. I'll mention that when we get into the middle of the lesson, as far as what was said. But it was very powerful, and it made me really think about that and look at this idea of seeking. So What are we to do? What does seeking mean? How are we to seek God? And we'll look at some scriptures about this and then have kind of two thoughts as ways that we can go about this. So first, Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119, what it is to seek God and how we are to be seeking God. Psalm chapter 119, and I'll start in verse 9. We'll read verses 9 and 10. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. So the idea here is we're obviously to seek God, and it says it's advice here in this case. How can a young man keep his way pure? First off, guard it according to your word. Again, like I said, a lot of these things are pretty basic of what we're supposed to be doing, but we're supposed to be reminding ourselves. I'm supposed to be telling myself this daily as we go about. We're to do it according to God's word. But more importantly, at least in the way that I'm looking at this and kind of what we're speaking about this morning, how are we to seek? What does it say there in verse 10? With my whole heart. With my whole heart. And it is that part of the verse that really paints the picture for what we're talking about this morning. It's not partial seeking, not semi-dedicated seeking, but it talks about the entire heart. With my whole heart, I am to be seeking, so let me not wander from your commandments. How about another one here? Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, a book full of wisdom, wise sayings, things that we are to do, things that we are not to do. Proverbs chapter 8. And I'll read verse 17. Again, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. You may have headings here. This particular one in chapter 8 talks about the blessings of wisdom. And there's obviously so many great wise sayings in the book of Proverbs. And here it says, this is talking about it from the standpoint of God and God speaking here. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. So we're to seek with our whole heart, and we're to be diligent in doing that. I don't know if we could give God our entire heart and then also say we're not really being diligent. I don't know if you could half-heartedly do something and then say you're doing that with your whole heart, and pun intended there, okay? The idea here is we're to do it with all that we have and to seek Him diligently. Now, you don't have to turn back here. I'll just reread what Zachary did earlier. Matthew chapter 7, if we're doing this seeking diligently and with our whole heart, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 that was read earlier, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. We cannot find something if we're not seeking after it. Again, like I said, it's super basic here. But it's something that is important to understand, that just simply being a Christian and saying, I am a Christian, is not mission accomplished, okay? The idea is that I'm to constantly be seeking the scriptures and seeking to be a better person and a better Christian and to do more. But guess what? If I'm seeking and doing what I'm supposed to do, then I will find, or you will find. And the one who seeks finds. And of course, it talks about for everyone who asks and those that knock, it will be opened. So with our whole heart, we're to seek diligently. If we're seeking it and have the right mindset and the right frame of mind, and the right heart, then we will find. Again, these are basic things about seeking, but setting the table for how we're to be seeking. Finally, Colossians chapter 3. Not finally as far as the last scripture. I don't want to give you too much hope after 7 minutes. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. Again, we're setting the table here for, okay, well, how are we to seek, or what we are supposed to do when we are seeking? Again, if you have headings, you might have something that says, put on the new self, if you have that in your Bible. Again, Paul talking here, and he speaks in verse 1, and this is 1 through 3 of Colossians chapter 3, again, verses 1 through 3. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So in verse 1, it says, seek the things that are above. Okay, that makes sense. That's what we are to do. But more specifically, there's further instruction there. Look at verse 2. How are we to look at things that are above and set our minds on things that are above if all we are do is entrenched in this world? if my mind and my life and everything that that revolves around me is all about now and this world and this earth and nothing else, and not ever given to God other than when maybe I pray, or when my daughter or son offers a prayer before we eat. Okay, that's the one time I thought about God that day. Am I setting my thoughts on things above, or am I entrenched in thinking about this world? Am I living for this world? Set our mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Okay, so that's how we are to seek. We are to seek that not only with our whole heart, and to seek diligently, seek and we will find, and also seek the things that are above. Kind of set the table there. So with that in mind, the thought that was mentioned, and like I said, I believe it was Carl that had mentioned this at the time, and we talked about it briefly in one of our Bible classes a few months ago. The thought was, is those that are not raised in the church are the most active seekers. And I'll mention that again. But that's actually the way that he said that, and it got me thinking about what it is to seek. Say it one more time. Those that aren't raised in the church tend to be, or at least in his opinion, and one that I would share, tend to be or can be the most active seekers. Well, for starters, what does that mean? Well, of course, I would think it would be the obvious there is that I can speak from one that was raised in the church. I'm blessed to have been raised by parents that were Christians, that raised me to be a Christian, raised my sister to be a Christian. We both obeyed the gospel, and we've remained faithful Christians through our lives up to this point. And we'll make sure that we do our best to do that and make sure that that happens the rest of our life. I've been raised in the church. And Carl was saying that as one from his standpoint that was in the same, that it was raised in the church. But oftentimes you've heard the phrase rest on our laurels, okay, or this idea of getting comfortable. Sometimes a byproduct of that can be forgetting to be that active seeker, to make sure that we are constantly yearning for the truth, and that we're constantly seeking the scriptures. Well, I've already become a Christian. I was raised by good parents and good Christian parents, and they gave me a great, stable, a good base of which to operate as a Christian. But that doesn't mean that my mission is accomplished. And I have to make sure that I am actively seeking, and I am so encouraged by those that didn't have that background. It doesn't mean that I'm not encouraged by all of us. Every single one of you, those that were raised in the church like I was, I am actively encouraged by you. But I am just in awe of those that did not have that background, and those that did not grow up in the church, and those that actively were seeking and looking for something and searching for something, and they found it. And they found it. And where did they find it? They found it here. And they found it, in a lot of cases, themselves, by searching the scriptures. And maybe they had someone, Brother Gale or others, that helped them understand that and read through that. But it's that active seeking that I am just in awe of, and I respect, and I want to have that attitude for myself, to constantly be doing that, even though I had the background and was raised in the church. So is that just something that is an opinion of mine, or are we supposed to be actively striving for this? Go to Matthew chapter 5. You may have already thought about it, but Jesus speaks directly to this. And this is at any point in our lives. In Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 3 and on through about verse 11, it's a very familiar passage. It's the Beatitudes. There's many blessed phrases here. Look at verse 6. This is actually one of the only ones, or I think the only one I read this morning, that doesn't have the word seek. But you could definitely put it in here. Look at verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You may take away a few things from this lesson, but especially if you're already a Christian, which most of us in the audience are, I hope one of the main things you take away from this is I need to make sure when I leave this place, when I wake up tomorrow, and when I wake up Tuesday and the rest of the week, I need to look inwardly and say, am I hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Are you striving and hunger, and are you hungry for the truth, even if you feel like you already have it, if you've already accessed that and you have access to it? Are you actively striving and hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Because if you are, you will be satisfied. But that doesn't mean that then that stops, if that makes sense. We have to constantly be hungry and be thirsting after righteousness. That's the scripture that hit my brain when Carl was mentioning about this idea of those that are the most active seekers, because they potentially have not had that food and drink, if you will, to continue with the analogy. And they are most active in seeking after that. And again, once we have it, it doesn't mean that we stop. Look back again, you don't have to turn back, but in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we've already read it, but you may gloss over the third word there, or maybe the fourth word if you have ye in there. This particular version does not. But seek what? First. And oftentimes when we read that, it's seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. That word first is so key, because another thing that was said, I believe maybe in that same class, is someone had said, and maybe it was Brother Gale, if not I'll give him the credit, God has to be the priority, not a priority. Okay? God has to be the priority, not a priority. So, if it doesn't just say seek God, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, seek first. So if I have given God my whole heart, okay, and I am hungering and thirsting and I have that right attitude, then am I putting everything in my life and my family before God? You should be shaking your head no. No, I'm not. Okay? Seek first the kingdom of God. And again, like I said, this is not something new, but I think oftentimes, and I'm just talking about me personally, I gloss over that word and making sure first, when I wake up, when it's noon and I'm, you know, working, 5 o'clock, whatever the time is, that I need to have God as my priority, the priority, not a priority, and seeking first the kingdom of God. The second main part of this, and this is really the rest of the lesson, which is, again, like I said, might have been during this class, or this might have been my aside when Carl mentioned that. I may have just written this down. I can't even remember my keys from day to day, much less what I wrote in my phone about 4 or 5 months ago. I wrote down, sometimes it's harder to seek God during the good times. I try to be, as most people know, a glass half full person. I say I try to be because I have to work very hard at it. I grew up not realizing that I tended to be a complainer. And so I have worked very hard in my adulthood, and goodness knows it's not hard. Look at how blessed I am. But it's times are great. And I'm very blessed and you know, get emotional about it because I am. So I'm going to stop a second. All right. I'm very blessed and times are good. And I thank God, you know, every day, and need to thank God every day for that. As a result, though, sometimes if things are good and you get feeling that things are really good, you can kind of feel like, I don't need to seek as hard. And I don't need to pray as hard. And I don't need to read as hard. And then, guess what? If something were to happen to my family or to me or a job situation or anything, and that changes, what oftentimes changes? Naturally, we start thinking a little bit more about God. Maybe praying a little bit harder. Times get tougher. We get sicker. Loved ones have something happen to them. That's just natural. That's not something that's hard to understand. Sometimes it can be harder to seek God during the good times, but when things aren't as good, we look to the Scriptures and we look to Him and we think about Him more. Well, Jesus addressed in the book of John, and the rest of this will come from that. If you want to turn to John chapter 6, Jesus addressed what it was to be true seekers. Now, this doesn't directly tie into this idea of good times versus bad times. What He was addressing is that what it really meant to be a seeker and true seeking, and to kind of filter out this idea of, well, Jesus is bringing the good message and it's all good times and Jesus is going to be the king. Because if you remember, what the people were looking for in John chapter 6 was, is they were looking for the earthly king, and they were kind of looking for someone to get them out of their current situation. And they weren't looking for what Jesus ended up being, and He had to instruct them on that. And what happened in that is that it really became Him almost, instructing on, well, this is when you need to be seeking me, and it's not necessarily what you think, and it's not all the good times. This is what it means to be a true seeker or true seeking. So John chapter 6, and, you know, one of the reasons I thought about this is, recently visited another congregation, and the lesson was actually on John chapter 6. And notice when we're reading through how often that this idea of seeking was mentioned. And I thought the preacher did an excellent job. He just had an analogy. And what he said was is that The situation, if you remember, in John chapter 6, and I'm not going to read all of it because I could literally read the entire chapter and that would take us the rest of the time, is Jesus has a large crowd. Okay, and what he mentioned is that in current times, if say you go to, I think he said a concert, say you go to a concert situation, okay, is there going to be a time where the people that are at that venue and they want the biggest crowd possible, are they going to say when they see 15 to 30 people come in, close the doors, we don't need the rest of them. We don't really want a big crowd. We don't really want all of y'all. We're going to turn most of you away. Does that ever really happen? No, of course not. The idea is to get the biggest crowd possible. I think he also mentioned a political rally. You know, who's going to say, oh, no, we're good about 20 or 30 people. The other 3,000 of y'all, we just want y'all to stay out. No, that's not the case. But Jesus had this large crowd that came and followed him. And they followed him again. And they were actively seeking him. But what Jesus did, and the phrase that he used, is that Jesus actually adds a huge filter. And Jesus, in imparting the truth, knowingly places a filter there that will filter out the majority, or because I don't know numbers, I should maybe alter that instead of saying the majority, a lot of those people that were following him were not going to follow him after he imparted the wisdom that he did in John chapter 6. And the way that the preacher said it is, it's almost like if you have a water pitcher and you have the filter on there and you pour the water through there, or it goes through the pitcher and it filters out all these different things and all these particles and different things, or an air filter. Again, air coming through, it gets rid of all those other things. And that's what Jesus does in John chapter 6. So he's the crowd is seeking him. He fed the 5,000, as we see at the beginning of John chapter 6. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase for time's sake. The people, it's all the wonders that he had done, this magnificent miracle. And they tell him in verse 14, they said, "This indeed is the prophet who has come into the world." But perceiving in verse 15 that they were about to come and take him by force to make him what? King. Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. He's got this large crowd. We're ready to go. And Jesus leaves. And he goes away. And then he walks on the water. He appears to his disciples. He goes to the other side, on the other side of the sea. And then in verse 22, the crowd has gathered again. But Jesus isn't there. They're looking for Jesus. And they see now that he has gone on the other side of the sea. So what happens? He's in the evangelist that said it's almost like an armada. This crowd, this large crowd, gets in boats. And they go across and they go to Capernaum. What does it say in verse 24? They do this because they are seeking Jesus. Okay, so I've already told you in this lesson, that's what we're supposed to do. Seek Jesus. Seek God. That's what they're doing. But he's going to have some truth here. When they found him, they said, "Why did you come here?" And he says in verse 26, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Okay? He says, "Why are you seeking me?" And again says, "You're seeking this because you're looking to be filled. You're looking for this food that I'm giving to you." And there's some other interaction that happens here in verse 34. They said to him, "Okay, sir, give us this bread always." And then Jesus, for lack of a better term, drops the hammer down. He brings a new thing to them in verse 35. They say, "Give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you, you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, the will of him who sent me, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone that looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And at this, in verse 41, what's the reaction? But the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And of course, then they go back and they said, "Is this not Jesus? We know him. This is the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How can he now say in verse 42, I have come down from heaven?" That was a very difficult thing for this crowd to hear. And we're going to see what happens because of that. So then he goes back and he talks to them and he says, again in verse 47, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven." And continues. The Jews again in verse 52, they disputed among themselves saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Okay? And then Jesus comes back and answers that to them. And it comes down again. This is the bread in verse 58. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread that the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Difficult things for the crowd to hear and difficult things for them to understand. This is truly a hard saying. How do we know that? Look at verse 60. When many of the disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew there were those that were seeking him, but not, again, for lack of a better term, the right seekers, or seeking in the right way. They were seeking, but they weren't seeking the way that they should have, or they weren't seeking the right thing. There were some of those who did not believe, and as maybe in parentheses in your Bible, for Jesus knew from the beginning there were those who did not believe and who it was who was to betray him. And then he says in verse 65, and he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." So Jesus had this large crowd. He has seen this. He has removed himself. They've come back to him. They've sought after him. And then he delivered it. He has delivered his message. And what do you see in verse 66? And after this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus has put his filter out there, and it has separated some of those that were seeking and following after him. Now, the reason I bring that up is I can say all day about we need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and talk about what it is to seek, but we have to understand that if we're going after the scriptures and after God with our whole heart and we're appropriately seeking, we should be in the right way. We should be setting the right path. But at different times of our life, people we come into contact with, at any point, we can be seeking but not seeking in the right way, and we can fall off that path. Even if we're Christians, if we've not yet become Christians, we can not be on the path yet and understand that we're seeking. We understand maybe, but we're not doing that with our whole heart. We're not seeking the right things. And that can be difficult. I should remove the word can. That is difficult. Life, even though it can be good, and I talked about how blessed we are and how blessed I am, and we should all be looking and seeing and be positive about that. We can also be real. Life is hard. And it was supposed to be that way, okay? Not initially, but it became that way. And we've talked about that recently in our Genesis study. And we understand that we are to be seeking not only God, but what else are we to be seeking? We're seeking God and his word so we can be where? Not here and not somewhere else with the devil, but we can be with God eternally. And Jesus talked about, on this bread we will live forever. We understand that that's not living on this earth forever, but that's to be an eternal salvation with him. But that's not easy. And we have to understand that just because I feel like I'm seeking and I'm going after God and I've got God on my mind and he's number one, because he should be, that's what we read about, but that sometimes we need to check ourselves and make sure that we are seeking Jesus in the right way. And not only in the right fashion, but we are doing it from this and nothing else. That's a big play in this, because they thought they were seeking after Jesus in the right way. They really did. But Jesus corrected them and told them what he was doing. And some of them stayed and some of them did not. So whose attitude should we have in that? Again, we have to talk about seeking and believing with our whole heart, as we read in Psalms chapter 119. We have to understand that we need to have the right attitude. And so look at verse 68. I said the rest of this would be in John chapter 6, and we're almost done this morning. These people in chapter 66, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So what does Jesus do? He says to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" And the attitude I want us to have is the one that's mentioned in verse 68 of Simon Peter. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And that's, again, what I want to take away from this, and we need to take away not only how we are to seek, and then we are to seek God first and to hunger and thirst and to have that attitude, even if we've already obeyed the gospel, of this just hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But the idea is that to whom else shall we go? We have it all. He says, you are the words of eternal life. This is what we have. And I need to understand every single day that I've got everything laid out in front of me. I've just got to do it. I've just got to follow it. And I've got to seek after it with all of my heart. And Peter had the appropriate attitude. And just imagine the scene sitting there and watching these people leave. And then, Lord, where should we go? He answered correctly. You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know. And guess what? If I'm not seeking actively, I can't fully come to know God. And I can't fully come to know His scriptures and what He has us, would have us to do. Matthew chapter 7, we have two more scriptures. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. I know your hands may be tired. Matthew chapter 7, we already read 7 through 8. Let's always remember when I talk about the life, I'm not trying to say life is hard to get us down, because like I said, I feel like life is fantastic right now. But I understand that this is my temporary home, and I have to understand that I need to be wary and cautious and keep my eyes open, because verse 13 of Matthew chapter 7, always remind ourselves of this. Enter by the narrow gate, because what? For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And I love the way that it puts it there. Not just that the gate is wide, but what? That's the easy way. That's the easy way. No matter what we feel like things are going on in our life, and even if they're going fantastic, or even if they're going terribly, we have to understand that the other way to turn away from God, that's the easy way. But guess where that leads? To destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And my instructions to us this morning is not to get us discouraged, but to be real. I always try to be a realist. Let's be real. Is that it's easy to fall away, and we need to constantly remind ourselves about that. And the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. But boy, it's the ultimate. It's the ultimate. And ultimately, we seek another place. The final scripture is Hebrews chapter 13. When we talk about seeking, this is the last one of seeking. And it's Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. And that should be what we constantly remind ourselves, is that we are seeking the city that is to come. That's the lesson to us this morning. It wasn't, hopefully, overly long, relatively on time. But of course, the goal is to have something that we can think about when we leave this place. And hopefully when you leave here, you can remind yourself and your kids and your spouse and anyone else, but more importantly, again, looking inwardly first, that I'm to constantly be seeking first God with my whole heart, and that the way is going to be hard. And even if I've already obeyed the gospel and become a Christian, that doesn't make it that my way is just crystal clear and free of obstacles. It's quite the opposite, because it's life, and life can be hard. But if we're seeking the city that is to come, no matter what we're going through, and we're seeking it appropriately and searching the scriptures, we're going to find what we're looking for. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you have that opportunity this morning. There's nothing better that you'll ever do in your life. We talk about the idea of what we are to do. And we always mention that we are to believe, or first to hear, to believe, to confess of our sins, to repent of our sins, and to be baptized. And then also to not forget that we are to continue on in that. And that's a lot about what we've talked about this morning, is that continuing on and that continuing seeking. So if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you have the opportunity this morning. If you have, and most of us have this morning, a lot of this lesson is focused at that. And that if you have, search yourself this morning. If you haven't been seeking the way you need to, if you have had sin constantly peck away at you and eat away at you, and maybe you've sinned of a public nature and you want to acknowledge that, or of a private nature and you just want us to pray for you, let's pray for you. Or offer that up to God today when you leave this place. But make sure that we're seeking the way that we should. If you're in any way subject to the invitation, we would invite you to come forward as we sing the invitation song.